The next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. Iowa visits Michigan State on Saturday, a 4 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on Fox. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments, we'll go ahead and take questions.
Sure. We had a tremendous crowd here in Kinnick on Saturday. It was a great football game, and unfortunately, we came up short, but we played an excellent football team, and credit goes to them. So, it's like every Sunday, you go back to work, see what you can learn, and move on to the next challenge. And certainly, we have a big challenge in our hands going on the road and playing our first road game in the Big Ten, playing Michigan State. So, hopefully, we'll have a good week of practice and be ready to compete.
Thank you, Coach. We'll open the call for questions now.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions in the queue following two prompts, we will conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question is from the line of Adam Biggers with FanRackSports.com.
Hey, Kirk. Good afternoon. Just asking Mark about it. I mean, series-wise, it's even. You're 7-7 against Michigan State. He's 4-4 against you guys. But the nature of these games, though, the double overtime with Meyer field goals, I remember Stanzi to McNutt, it seems like there's always, LJ's drive in the Big Ten championship game. It seems like there's always that it factor in these games. Can you kind of describe that?
Yeah, I'd agree. And I even go back to the 80s. I remember some games in the 80s that were just unbelievably close. And two of them that come to mind right away, 84, where they stopped us here in our north end zone and won the game by 1 point, I believe it was. And then a year later, we ran a bootleg and won by 4, I think. So, but both of them came down to the same end zone, end of the game type situations. And, historically, we've just had a lot of unbelievable games with Michigan State. Can't explain why that is, but that has been the history, both recent and distant. And, so I would expect more of the same this week.
And to follow up real quick, obviously you guys played great against Penn State this past week. And does this put, just given the nature of the games against Michigan State and coming off last weekend, is there maybe an extra chip on the defense, on your defensive shoulder, on the offensive shoulder? D'Antonio's been very complimentary of your program over the years.
Well, I mean, we feel the same about them. They've had a great run, and they're very well coached. And we're not the same schematically, yet I think there are a lot of parallels between the teams. So that may be why the series has been so hotly contested. And, one thing about football in general, you got 12 games scheduled, and every Sunday you gotta try to flip the page. And if you don't, you lose ground on the next week, and that's really what we're looking at. It was a great game last week, but not great enough from our standpoint, but all that goes behind you once you get to Sunday, and you got to get focused on the next challenge. And unless you got a bye week, there's always one to face that next Saturday.
Appreciate it, Kirk. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeremiah Davis, the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Hey, Coach, I was curious about opposing locker rooms. Coach Harbaugh had some pointed comments yesterday about the league looking into it. Curious how you feel about that. Do you feel the league does enough to get opposing locker rooms up to snuff?
Oh, I don't know if I have a strong opinion on it. I'll just tell you, I coached what used to be 1AA football, 1990 in Maine. So that's a league of bus rides. And I can remember our first away game very vividly, actually. It was a school that's in the Big East. It was in the Big East for basketball. And I found it interesting. They only had one commode in the locker room. I don't know if we traveled 50, 60 guys, whatever it was. But that seemed like that was, I don't know if it would have met the specifications of the, Versailles Peace Treaty, one of those shots. But, I remember dressing in a pool locker room. And then, interestingly enough, my first year in the NFL, we played in Cleveland, Old Cleveland Municipal Stadium, and both locker rooms were awful, and that was the NFL. So, that's part of football, and, I've never had too much in terms of expectations when we go on the road. That's why I kind of laugh a little bit about all the talk about our pink locker room. Yet we've got a beautiful locker room, so whether it's pink, purple, or green, it's a really nice locker room, and, So be it, but that's just part of being on the road.
And then separately, You addressed it last year, but I wanted to follow up again with player protests and the potential for those. Have you had more conversations with your team about that? What have those been like, and has your opinion changed on it at all?
Well, as you might imagine, and I miss a lot, you know. I mean, we all miss a lot at this time of year. But when I got home, it was interesting, Sunday night, my wife was actually awake. So she kind of informed me that was a really dominated the day, apparently, on Sunday. And also said there have been, you know, some high-profile people that weighed in on it, which, you know, I don't know, I guess I'm still of the opinion that, you know, sports are sports, and one of the great things about sports is that hopefully no matter who we are, you know, we can go to a stadium and just kind of enjoy the sporting event and not have to bring all those other things into the arena, if you will. And, you know, I kind of feel the same way about, you know, when we're together as a team. You know, it's a really unique time in place and time, and, you know, the people that play, I think one of the things they miss the most is just that commonness of purpose, no matter what the backgrounds are. So it's one of those rare things you get in life. And, you know, me personally, I just don't think it's the time or place for political commentary. That's just my personal opinion. And, but that being said, though, you know, we're dealing with college-age students, but I think not only in the college experience, I think just in life experience, if you're alive, you know, you should be thinking, you should be weighing and measuring. And a great thing about our country is we all have the right to express our views and, you know, formulate our views and then express them in an appropriate way. But I think one thing is a team here, we're together, and we're going to be together in whatever it is we choose to do. And, you know, I think we're all going to try to leave the politics, leave them outside of our team experience.
Thank you, Coach.
Mm-hmm. We can take one last question for Coach.
Your next question comes from the line of Casey Campbell, G1 NBC Sports.
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Doing good. Traveling up to Michigan State for the first time in a while, what are some of the challenges going up against a Mark D'Antonio coach team?
Yeah, you know, it really doesn't matter if you're there or here. They're a good team. We're in India, I guess, for that matter. It's the last time we saw them. So one commonality is, you know, since Mark got there in 07, they've been very well coached. They've got good players. They play with a lot of pride, and for us, it's been a tough game each and every time. And I think I haven't gone game by game, but, you know, I can think of two games in our series where, you know, one got away a little bit for us, and vice versa, the next year got away in their favor. But typically, it's usually just it's a really hard fought down to the end ball game, and you know, they've got good players, and they've got a good program, and they're very well coached. So whether you play them there or here, it's just I don't know how much it's mattered in the series. It just seems like it's just always going to be a ball game.
And a quick follow-up. One of the new traditions here at Kinnick is the waving to the Children's Hospital.
Yep.
How has that cemented into Iowa fans and players?
Well, you know, we and I think we've explained this to our fans that you know, during the game, they got to excuse us because, again, we're focused on what we're doing. You know, it's time is so precious during, you know, from the kickoff till the end of the game. So that's what we're focused. We have not participated in it, but I think we've also demonstrated our commitment and our you know, interest level with the Children's Hospital. We do a lot of things during the year with the kids and their families, and I think they want us to win. So I think they're all on that. But it's been so well received by our fans, and I made the comment last week, and, you know, as long as I'm here, we'll swarm, because that's something Coach Fry started, and that's a real important Iowa tradition. But whenever I'm done, I don't know what's going to happen to the swarm. But one thing I'm pretty confident of, I think this tradition will go forever. I mean, I can't imagine why it won't. It's just such a it's such a positive thing. It brings everybody together, and it's just a really nice way to salute a lot of really great people, the patients, their families, and the people that help them get better.
All right, Kirk, good luck against Michigan State.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Coach, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.